Good morning, good morning, good morning.
We will be turning to Ezekiel 47. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. We're fixing to see it. 2 weeks ago when I was speaking, and one of the things I spoke about was 1 Corinthians 3. Paul is asking, are you mere humans? And he was asking that in terms of, are you mere humans? In other words, are you just engaging fleshly actions like another human being would? Remember we talked about fasting attitudes? Who had issues with attitudes? I want to help you, okay? He continues on in 1 Corinthians 3, and he asks you, do you not know that you are a temple of the living God? Do you not know that you are a temple of the living God? Because see, when we become a temple of the living God, it shifts everything. When we become aware of God is with us and in us, now all of a sudden those fleshly things are no longer the precedent. Why? Because the love of God is able to take precedence. So we just got to keep it in order. Become that temple of the living God. Just say it with me. I am a temple of the living God. Amen. Ezekiel 47. I haven't seen it quite like this before. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. So therefore, afterward he brought me. See, Ezekiel's in the middle of an encounter here. He's been talking with the Lord for 7 chapters now. Okay? And starting in chapter 40, he's in this encounter. And so afterward, he brought me unto the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house, and at the south side of the altar. And he brought me out of the gate northward, and led me about by the way without unto the utter gate, in other words, the outer gate, that by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran waters out of the right side. I'm going to continue reading in just a moment. I just want to explain. He couldn't let him come out of the east gate, because the east gate only the prince could come out of. So therefore, he went to the north gate and then came back down to the east, to the east gate on the outside. When the man had a line in his hand, he went forth eastward and he measured 1,000 cubits. And we know that initially he brought and he measured 1,000 cubits and it was at his ankles. Then they go out and they measure another 1,000 cubits and it's up to your knees. And he goes out and he goes another 1,000 cubits and it's up to your waist. Then he goes out and it's over his head. It's over his head. I mean, all he can do is swim in it. He can't walk it anymore. He can't ford it anymore. And so, verse 5, again he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said it to me, son of man, have you seen this? And then he brought me back to the bank of the river. In other words, he's telling, son of man, have you seen this? And he's saying, have you seen this? And then he brings you back to the river. Where were you? You were in the river. You had to be in the river for him to bring you back to the bank. So he brought you back to the bank. And now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said, these waters go out to the eastern region and go down to the Araba, in other words, the desert. And then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea shall become fresh. And the waters of the sea shall become fresh. You know, in the natural, that doesn't happen. If you go down where the Trinity River meets the ocean, it's not going to be fresh. When we were in the Kenai, I had the opportunity to go to Alaska, to the Kenai River, and it's a beautiful glacier-fed river. In other words, everything that flows through there is just, sometimes there's little ice cubes still floating through it. It's just melting off the glacier and running down. It's beautiful. It's pure. But at the mouth of it, it's salt. At the mouth of it, with all that pure water running out, there's still salt coming in. Because that's the way it is natural. These waters here are different. These waters here aren't natural. Because it's not salt touching them. It's, in other words, it's life that is touching. It's life that is touching. And so what this touches begins to bring and release life. When Jesus met the leper, and the leper, he would go around to all the whole land and say, unclean, unclean, right? A leper had to declare that they were clean. It's kind of like if you have COVID, you know, you just say, hey, COVID, COVID. So, but when Jesus met the leper, guess what? He came up to the leper and he just touched him, and guess what? Instead of the leprosy getting on him, cleanness went into the leper. Clarity, cleanness, refreshing, wholeness, healing went into the leper. In other words, he changed what he came in contact with. We're talking about a river here that changes what it comes in contact with. A river that begins to bring life everywhere that it touches. A river that brings and restores everywhere that it goes. And so I know that most of you are probably already familiar with this, but at the same time, you need that background so that you understand where else we're going to go. Hallelujah. Let me see how I want to proceed here. One of the things, just as an informational point, is that salt water, when I talked about the Trinity River and whatnot, do you realize there's a stream over here right by the Jersey Village High School? You know how far we are away from the ocean? There's a stream where there's mullet that come up in there. Mullet it's a saltwater bait fish. And there's mullet all the way up here in our little Jersey Village area. The mullet, they're able to live in both the freshwater or the saltwater, but they have access to the saltwater, and so they can go back and get recharged. But they'll come all the way up here to Jersey Village. Just FYI. Let's go back to verse 1. He says, "And the water was flowing from down under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. And if it faces east and it's flowing out from the south, which hand is this? It's the right hand. It's flowing out of a right hand message. It's flowing out of a right hand blessing. There's a right hand blessing that's being released in this river. It may be starting as a trickle when you first see it, when you first encounter it, but it's still the right hand blessing that's being released. That's something that we have to begin to just recognize, is that right hand blessing upon our life. And that's what's being released here by these waters. The next thing is, part number 2 was, he's been talking to us for 7 chapters now about this temple and about the grounds and about the city. What I'm going to say to you is that you only find the water when you're looking for it. Because it's his first mention of the river. You don't see the river until you're looking for it. In other words, basically, before I got saved, I was never looking for the river. Once I got saved, all I did was look for the river. Because if there was an anointing flowing, I'm going. That was just the way I lived my life for a while. Until the prophet came to my house and said, "Stop." Because he came to my house and told me to stop, which I did not respond to well. I'll just be honest. Because I was enjoying doing what I was doing. But the deal was, what he wanted me to do is begin to develop an anointing of my own. And if all I do is spend my life pulling on somebody else's anointing, I can't get my own anointing. Have your anointing back. Got my own anointing. Hallelujah. So living water is only found when you're looking for it. Here's the next one. In verse 1, it says here, and it's talking about, "And afterward he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued from under the threshold." Number 1, if it issues from under the threshold, how are you going to get access to it? You got to bow. You got to have a humble process. It's a humble process. It's a place of humility to come into and encounter it. It's a place of humility to engage. Got to bow. "From under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east." Let me submit one more thing to you. This word threshold, it's our famous word panim. Panim. Meaning the face. In other words, our river is flowing out from the face of God. It's flowing out from the face of God. That's the very same face of God that when Jacob began to interface with the face of God, it brought transformation. It brought a change of identity. It brought a change of character. It brought a change of who the man was. It brought a change of his destiny and his inheritance. It's the very same face that is issuing out these waters for us to engage in. So when we step into this river of living water that's flowing out, we're stepping into the face of God. We're stepping into the place of transformation. We're stepping into a place of a newness of inheritance, a newness, a new shift to our whole being, because our identity shifts from what we were to what we're going to be. That's what he's releasing here. It's interesting to note that this river of living water is mentioned. It's mentioned here in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in Zechariah. It's also mentioned in John 7, where he speaks, in 7, verse 37, he speaks that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's also mentioned in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, where at the very end, when everything has been established, all of a sudden you see he's speaking again about the river of living water that's touching everything that's going through the city. When Christ comes on the scene, this is what I began to realize. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the temple to get touched by God. When Christ comes on the scene, now he's standing there at that feast, and he said, I am the living temple in front of you. And I'm releasing this living water. But not only am I releasing this living water, I'm releasing now a day that is coming soon where you all have the living water, the same water that I'm releasing. And that's how all of a sudden the river goes from being ankle deep and knee deep to being over our head, because all of us are able to participate in the release of this living water. All of us are a participation of releasing what Father has already destined. Because we recognize our opportunity and we're flowing out of the same place that he was coming from. The same love that flowed through our heavenly Jesus, our holy Jesus, it's flowing through us. The same character that can be now in us and released through us. Hallelujah. When you see it, you can't unsee it. Hallelujah. Out of our Father, out of His face, flows this river that gets echoed and repeated and multiplied through each of us. Able to bring the same level of transformation. Able to bring the same level of identity shift. Able to bring in the inheritance that we're supposed to walk in. Multiplication. See, this is how the gospel gets multiplied. This is how you and I take our place in the multiplication. Hallelujah. Small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. You know, a lot of times we're speaking now and we're engaging, we're showing you how to engage heavenly encounters. But know that your heavenly encounter is more of a journey than it is an event. Because, see, it takes a lot of small bits, a bit here and a bit there and a bit here and a bit there to release that event. Our walk with Him and our choice to gather in and encounter Him is just that. It's a series of choices to that event. What we honor, we will attract. When you honor your spiritual fathers, you're going to attract something off of their life. If you honor one who's a prophet, then prophecy is going to be attracted to you. Amen? There's a natural order that's being released here. The river is small at first, because if it was huge and you tried to jump in, you couldn't acclimate. But when it's a little trickle, I can come alongside that trickle and I can reach down and I can get me a cup and I can feel safe. And then I can get me another cup and then I can walk a little deeper. And then let it go out a little further. I'm okay if it's ankle deep. I'm okay if it's waist deep. The other day we went fishing in a place that the water has dropped 5.15 feet. Well, 5.15 feet, there's a whole lot of places that's actually dry land. in this particular location. So we motored our little boat and then got stuck. And then I had to get out of the boat and walk it over to where we were going to go. Because on the other side of that dry land, well, it wasn't totally dry, but it was drier than what we could do with people in the boat, was the river. Once I'm in the river, I'm in the flow. Small beginnings. The longer we walk with Him, the deeper it's going to get. Okay? As long as we stay anchored, to where the flow comes from. As long as we stay anchored to that throne, as long as we stay anchored to the face of our God, we will come that will continually get deeper and deeper as we go with it. But we have to stay anchored, because if we let go of that, if we let go of where it comes from, all of a sudden we can find ourselves out in the Arabah, out in the desert. Keep your heart anchored in Him. Hallelujah. Because that anchoring in Him means that you will walk in the fullness of everything that this river can release. Sometimes the enemy wants to derail us. If he's going to derail you, he's going to really try to derail you when you first start a new thing. Why? Because the river's slow. It's a whole lot easier to derail somebody who's just getting started. You know, how many times have you met somebody or you worked with somebody and they got saved and they get on fire for a week or two and then they're gone. And now they don't answer your phone call. They don't open the door when you come over. The enemy did something to take them out, okay? So you just now, then you lift it up and you say, okay, God, now it's out of my hands. It's in yours. Amen? Here's one of the other things that can be a side effect of if you just go out to the deep end. It can be intimidating to jump into the deep end. And if it's intimidating, it becomes an excuse to just stand on the sideline. Notice that the man keeps introducing a new level. We're going to call him a man because that's what the word tells him right there. Interestingly enough, see, this is an encounter that he's having with the Lord. And this man, he keeps introducing him to the next level. He presents him the next level. He says, he measures it out to space and says, hey, come here. Do you remember? Do you remember in school when people would say, hey, come here. Basically, he's introducing him. But why is that? See, we need a moment when we shift levels. We need a moment to acclimate to what is new. And that means we're going to have to let go of something that was old. Because the old was whatever we had that was old was still keeping us in the old. And we have to begin to adopt a new idea and a new thinking and a new way to come into the new place. Because then every time he moves us deeper, it's going to require a little bit more from us. It's going to require a little bit more of us. And it's going to be a little bit holier. It's going to be a little bit more righteous. It's going to be a little bit more guided and focused. But it's going to be something that actually gets you where you want to go. Hallelujah. All these things add up to change. Remember, you know, change in your life comes from the result of many small decisions. You make a quality decision and you stand with it. Then you make one more quality decision. Then you make one more quality decision. And then all of a sudden you look back and you can't even remember those things that were over there. You don't remember what that past was anymore. You don't remember about all the other things. You don't remember about the abuse. You don't remember about whatever it was that you left behind. Because why? Because you've made these decisions and you've gone with God along the way. And He brought you into another place that was deeper and another place that was deeper and another place that was deeper until you are suddenly in a place where you can no longer do it by yourself. You're suddenly in a place where you're totally dependent upon Him and you had to let go of everything else but Him. See, when we finally get to the place where it's over our head, then things begin to shift around us. Because verse 80 says, and these waters go into the eastern river and go out into the Arabah, and they turn and they're made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will be that every living creature which swarms in every place the river goes will live. These waters were going into the Dead Sea. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. So for it to live, it meant that this river had to change it completely and entirely. It changed something that was dead into something that had life. Because even saltwater fish can't live when the salt gives above a certain density. There is nothing that lives in the natural, in the Dead Sea. But this sea flows and it changes. The same as that river flowed into my life on that day of my salvation. It began to change something that was dead into something that was living. And it does the same for you. Get beyond our own ability. You know, I had a mentor of mine who said, I know what I can do, and I'm not impressed. We got to get beyond our own ability. By the way, he was probably the most remarkable prophet I've ever met. He would tell you stuff about your life, and he was like, you knew only you and God knew that. His kids challenged him one time, and they said, we're going to make up a word between us, and you have to tell us what the word is. He said, okay, give me a week to pray. And they came up with some long word, you know, I don't remember what the word was, but he spoke it to him exactly a week later. They never whispered it. They never did anything. He just let God speak to him. So when we begin to go into these deeper waters, that means we have to give up some things. That means you have to begin to agree with what the Word of God says about you. It says you're holy and unblameable, Les. You're righteous. You're pure. You're worthy. When it begins to speak and it begins to release these things, we need to begin to hold these things and receive them and then act on them, even if we don't necessarily wholly get it yet. Because when we come into agreement with it, now it can actually begin to come into an effect in our life. When we come into an encounters with Him, now we can come into an encounter from a place of recognizing what He said about us is already true. And when you do, it's going to speed up your encounter a whole lot. Because He's holy and we are holy. He's righteous and we are righteous. We might not feel righteous. You know all those songs, you know, it speaks about what a wretch you are. It's a wonderful song, but you're not a wretch. There is nothing about you that's a wretch. He said, arise and shine. He called you to be shining ones. He called you to stand up with Him and recognize who you are. But guess what? See, when you're in overhead, you're beyond your own ability. Now you're ready to change the environment around you. We're in a place where we're no longer just a thermometer. We're a thermostat. We're reaching out and changing the environment. The environment has to come into an accord with who you are. Even if you walk into something that's not good, if you walk into something that's strifeful and angry, you can change that environment because you're there. Because you choose. Because you choose to release something from you. You choose to release the peace that's in you into the environment. You choose to not respond to just the stimulus, but to respond to who God said I am. Amen. Notice that it has all these trees along the way there. I just want to read you something from Psalm 1, verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. And He, the one who's delighting in the Lord, He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever He does, He prospers. Whatever He does, He prospers. When we come into this agreement with God, all of a sudden now, He calls us. He was showing Him the trees upon the water because those are the other saints that had already been and got established where they were. And now they're bringing forth healing to the nations. Now they're bringing forth a fruit, a fruitfulness for others to eat and partake of so they too can grow up to be a tree. Let's finish this up in Revelation 22. because I want to give you one more, just a little scriptural evidence in case you didn't believe me. So he showed me verse 1 of chapter 22 in Revelation. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, perpetually fruitful. How would you like to be perpetually fruitful? Amen? Every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it. And his bondservants, they shall serve him. And they shall see his face. See his face. His name will be on their forehead. They shall see his face. This is a river that flows out of the face of God. This is a river that flows out of his kind, and it flows out of his nature, brings with it everything that we can encounter in the face of God. It can be found in the river. Everything found in the face of God is found in this river. And this river that is this living water, is one of the very few things that's mentioned in the Old Testament and in the in-between Testament. That's what I call his actual gospel. And then in the New Testament, mentioned everywhere. Wow. Because he wants you to know the access that you have to all that is his. He wants you to know the place of transformation, the place of renewal, the place of inheritance is with us. Hallelujah. Amen.